Take KUJZ 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go at 95.3thescore.com.
I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Well, hello. Get in the let out, taking us into the 5 o'clock hour. Sports Talk on a Monday. It's March. Woohoo! I love it. This is good stuff, man. I was looking over tournaments that most rational people don't care about, just because it's championship week, and tomorrow they start in the Patriot League, and they start in the Horizon League, and the A-Sun, and the Big South. Then by the time we hit the weekend, Lord. A week from tomorrow, the West Coast Conference Final. You get the Summit League Final. Next Monday, the Southern. I mean, this is great as you get all the games, and obviously as fans of the women's game, those tournaments are starting. But it just gets to the point where this weekend you'll be determining where the seeds are, and then by the time you get into championship week, every night, automatic bids on, you know, Monday through Sunday. And yeah, a week from Sunday is Selection Sunday, and it's a beautiful thing. Wednesday, in anticipation of Oregon-Cal, Bears, by the way, at 7-9 in conference. Where were they picked? Cal, dead last, with just 35 total points. I mean, to put it in perspective, how the media saw the conference this year. So on top, even though they split, they had the same amount of first place votes. You had Oregon and Colorado with 9 each, Washington 6, and of course, who knew that their most important player, the point guard, Quade Green, would get kicked because of grades and send them into a last place tailspin. But Oregon had 291 points. Then you can see the gradual drop off: 3 points, 15 points, 10 points. So the media was convinced it would come down to Ducks, Buffs, Dogs, Cats. Then you had a substantial drop off from 263 down to 198. And they were like, oh, USC, Arizona State, Oregon State, UCLA, Utah, then a big drop-off down to Stanford, a bigger drop-off to Washington State. They had Cal with, like, in order for, I would say Cal got nothing but 12s and 11s, because that's how you could figure these points. And they wind up at 7-9 when they were looked at as a 2 or 3 win. I mean, that's actually impressive, because you got to take it as kind of a big picture evaluation. Oregon State, not as disappointing, obviously, as Washington, but with their experience in Ethan Thompson and an ultimate rim protector at Kyler Kelly, and one of the great players in the history of the program, and the coach's son, Trace Tinkle, for them to be a possible 11 seed, that's not good. And UCLA, who was penciled in for 8th, and really only substantially ahead of Stanford, Wazoo, and Cal, leads the conference. Colorado still hanging in there with USC with seven losses. And then, you know, Arizona, who was supposed to be in the top four, at least get a bye, 9-7. And they've lost some really close ones. So, accurate on Oregon, semi-accurate on Washington State, 9th versus 11th. Arizona State, nah, when you got a team 6th and they're 3rd and a game out, that's not a really good call. Colorado, you know, figured for second. But Colorado is in 4th with 7 losses. So there is good. Well, I shouldn't say this. Technically, Southern Cal could knock off UCLA, and Oregon could, I mean, obviously could lose a game to Stanford or Cal, and you would have your first ever 6-loss Pac-10 or Pac-12 champion. Remember, the league expanded to playing 18 conference games, which they have every year since the 78-79 season. I should say the worst. There have been 3 times with a 5-loss champ, never 6. We're on the brink of having that. Last week, I think when we were at the Oregon game, Matt Prehm asked the question if there had ever been a 12-6. And of course, you can't ask me a question like that with my OCD and access to the internet and a laptop and other devices and not expect me to go year by year to look for it. It doesn't exist. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We'll get a, maybe as the show moves along, we'll throw an eyeball to the NBA and Giannis and the Bucks looking to have one of the all-time great regular seasons. And, of course, will mean nothing if they don't close the deal. But with that thought in mind, let's close up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, talk some Oregon women's hoops, put a third straight Pac-12 title on ice, a couple of dominating performances, sellout crowds, top seed headed to Vegas, almost too many superlatives to cover in one introduction. On Twitter, you could follow, the handle is at GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves joins us. Coach, I would imagine you're feeling pretty great on this first Monday of March.
Yeah, no question about it. It's been a fun day, just kind of reflecting on the weekend, and obviously we're looking ahead already. But you know, you couldn't have scripted it much better than it played out this weekend. From you know, the way we played on Friday night and the opportunity to cut down nets, that's always special. And the video tribute that our kids did to Sabrina and her message to the fans, I thought was so touching. And then, you know, how we played on Sunday and wrapped this thing up the right way and sent those seniors and Satu home. You know, that celebration was I thought phenomenal. So the whole weekend was very well done, and really happy for our team. And you know, we finished that part of the season. Now we got to move on to the next big guy. You know how it goes.
Oh, yeah. A lot of happy, happy, joy, joy. You know, I got to get to one thing that I noticed Friday. I mean, we've talked a million times. You coach the game, not the clock, and not the scoreboard. So it's early in the fourth quarter. The outcome is done. But the Cougs scored 9 straight points. You guys missed 2 shots, had 2 turnovers. You called timeout. Subbed out a couple of players. Your team rarely loses that eye of the assassin. You found that noteworthy to call that timeout, didn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm just one of those. I coach for 40 minutes. I expect our team to play for 40 minutes. I don't care what the score is. Do the right thing. Every possession matters. And I think that's how you get better. And those players that might not get as much time as others, hey, I got to hold them to the same standard. And, you know, it's not a right to get that time. You have to make it meaningful and you have to earn it. So, you know, I think I just had to remind them, and I think we ended up, you know, finishing just fine. But every once in a while, you know, you just got to got to remind him of what we're doing and how we should be doing it.
No, we were sitting on press row, and I said to Nick, sitting right here, I said, watch, Cougs score here. He's going to call timeout, and somebody's going to hear about this.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we lose four-fifths of our starting lineup, and so, you know, these players that are getting time at the end of the game, they're going to have to play a bigger role perhaps next year. And so, yeah, this is a time to learn.
Yeah, and by the way,
Sabrina and Ruthie and Satu, they're not going to be here to bail us out when we need it next year.
No, and by the way, the team on the floor quickly restored order.
Yes, as they're capable of doing, yeah.
Certainly. I thought in the postgame, yesterday, with you praising Mignon Moore, you pointed out that just remarkable statistic. I mean, your team gets to the Final Four despite being 191st in defensive efficiency last year. Now you're top 30 there, 40th in points allowed. What is it that she does on that end of the floor that has had this obvious positive impact?
Well, I think she's been able to slow down others in transition. So if you watch us, when our normal rebound responsibility when we shoot, our three, our four, and our five positions are supposed to crush the boards. That's usually Sabrina, Satu, and Ruthie. Mignon is supposed to hang out at the long rebound spot, so top of the key, free throw line. And she can pick up, because she's so quick, you know, some extra offensive rebounds. But the main thing she does is if they get the ball and they outlet it, she is supposed to slow down the other team's point guard while we transition back defensively. Well, she's terrific at that. She's got a number of steals, and we haven't been a team that gets a lot of steals traditionally. Well, we've upped that to 8.5 per game this year, in large part because of her. And then she is just a bulldog on the opposing team's point guards. And look at our competition. We have a lot of really good point guards in this conference. Kiana Williams, Destiny Slocum, Ari McDonald, and on and on. So, but I think that's part of it. But to me, the biggest part is just attitude. She talks. She energizes the team on that end of the floor. And so we just play a little bit harder and a little bit more focused defensively. And that attitude is coming from her.
Yeah, and she was terrific all over the place yesterday as well. And you mentioned your team putting the glove on some great scorers. So Amber Melgoza yesterday, who had 34 48 hours earlier at Oregon State, no field goals in the first half, just three for the game. What did you like out there that just limited her looks and productivity?
Well, we put some different defense players on her. We were switching all night. We trapped her when we could off ball screen. So, yeah, we made it difficult. She ended up making three, but those were kind of meaningless buckets when it didn't really matter at the end. So, yeah, I thought our team, we just made it a point to take her out. We just didn't think they had enough to get us if she didn't have a huge night, and it proved to be so.
Talking hoops with Coach Graves. Last week I was talking with Terry Johns about Taylor Chavez, who also was tremendous yesterday. You mentioned you're going to lose some just historic leaders. So looking ahead a little bit at next season, her game, her tenacity, is she the kind of player you think would be comfortable in a big leadership role guiding this team?
No question. And we would be, you know, every bit as good if she was in our starting lineup now and playing 30 minutes instead of 20-plus. I mean, she does play starters minutes. She finishes most games, especially when we're playing really good teams. Yeah, she would be ready for that. She would embrace it. She has a lot of Sabrina-like qualities and aptitude and attitude. So, yeah, she's going to be, you know, have to play a much bigger role next year, but she's certainly capable. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what the future holds for her.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone. When I was talking with Terry near the end of our conversation Friday, and we were talking about, okay, so you guys take on Team USA they've been beaten once. You made it two. You go into UConn, who usually wins by 70 at home, and you beat them by almost 20. You won big at Pauley Pavilion. You sweep the eternal blue blood, Stanford. So I've got a T-shirt idea I want to run by you.
Okay.
Where others get intimidated, we get inspired. What do you think?
Oh, that's pretty good. Are you looking for funding?
No, I'm just thinking.
Are you going to cover that yourself?
Actually, I was thinking if you guys like the idea, you take it, and I could tell everybody that was my idea, and they'd be like, no, it wasn't.
Okay. You'll wait and see how the reviews come in, and then you'll take credit or not. No, I think that's really good, and I love it. I know the reveal just came out here shortly. Or a few minutes ago, and they still had us number three. I just look at that and I go, you know, we're 10-1 against the AP top 25, and Baylor's 4-1. I mean, we've had, at the time we played them, we're 6-0 against teams in the top seven, and four of those wins were on the road. You know, against the top 16 seeds that they revealed today, we're 8-1. I think Baylor's 1-1. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just think we have a case for maybe that number two overall seed or even the number one. I like our resume stacked up to anybody. So, yeah, I think you nailed it with your shirt idea, big guy.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I was talking about that, and somebody said, does it really matter if you're one, two, or three, or four? And I'm like, yeah, if you're one, you don't have to play Baylor or South Carolina till the final game if you make the final four. So it's subtle, and eventually you have to play everybody, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on. And I'm with you, and not just because you're you and I'm sitting here talking to you.
Yeah, and I actually texted both Charlie Cream and Rebecca Lobo right after that, and they agree, and they actually said that on the telecast. That's one area that could change if we continue to win. But you know, like you said, it's really nitpicking at that point. You know, everybody's going to be good, and so you know, the later you go, so it doesn't, I don't think, really matter in the end. But this team has really done a lot of great things. It's incredible what they continue to do, and we're just in such a good place right now, Steve, going into the tournament. Remember last year at this point, you know, Ruthie was playing on basically one leg.
Yep.
And Taylor Chavez was out for the year. You know, poor Sabrina and Maite were playing, in essence, 40 minutes a game. You know, we had a lot of question marks going in. And right now we're healthy, we're confident. I think we're hungry because we did not win it last year. I know our kids are really motivated to get down there and win it this year, leave no doubt. So I think we're in a really good place right now.
A couple final thoughts for Coach Graves. About Satu, whether it be freeing her making that decision or just part of this natural progression of her game, now it's the first time she's scored 20 in back-to-back games. I don't know many at any level who just excel in all aspects. It's an observation. Has she, and I just mean again in the last couple weeks, just taken her game up a notch?
Yeah, hey, she made, I watched the tape of yesterday's game. She made a couple of plays that nobody else in the country can make.
Nope.
Oh, my goodness, going to the basket and contorting her body and still drawing contact and finishing. Yeah, she's, I think the decision to go, I think, has really just kind of helped her relax and now refocus on, hey, we've got hopefully 9 games left, and we want to go 9-0. And I think she's just, you know, now she's seeing that end is coming, and I just think she's really locked in. She needs to continue to be, because she's the difference maker ultimately for us.
Yeah, she's been catching and shooting from three-point land and just splashing it like it's, yeah, it's always something. I always say, if I were an opposing coach, I'd be like, now what? There's something else we got to worry about.
Well, hopefully we can keep firing on all cylinders. It's funny. You're never really as good or as bad as you think you are when you watch the film.
Right.
You know, and even on those tough nights, you go, well, you know, we got pretty good shots. We just didn't make them. And boy, they hit a couple that you wouldn't think they normally would. Oh, a dumb foul here, maybe a little foul trouble. You know, we weren't flawless this weekend. We were okay. We got to work on some things and get better for this week.
And lastly, I always like to ask this of coaches at this time, because you've landed here. The regular season's different. No back-to-backs. There's never a point in the regular season where you're like, if we lose this, our season is done. Do you and your staff approach the postseason a little differently? Or do you kind of, because of its nature, you don't even know who you're playing the next day, kind of take it as it comes?
Well, I think you have to take it as it comes, and it's still just the one game. I think we've had that mentality all year, just the next game. I asked him last night before the game. I said, this is the most important game of the year. Why? And they said, because it's the next game, coach. So they get it. We understand that. But, we know that the Pac-12 tournament isn't be-all, end-all. We obviously want to go down and win three games and win that thing. But after that, sure, then it's real. Then it's, hey, one and done. So I've already told them we're guaranteed two games. Friday night, Vegas, and one in the NCAA. That's it. You know, we could play as many as nine, but we're only guaranteed two.
Sure.
So, they know what's ahead of them, and we've been through it now. So, you know, this will be – what's the senior class won? 10 games in the NCAA tournament. They're 10-3. That's not too bad. So they know they've been through it. And we want to win six.
No, they seem to be the poster team for gets it. Folks, get ready. 2:00 Friday in Vegas against the Washington, Utah winner. He's Kelly Graves. Ducks, like he said, in tremendous position for fill in your own blank. On Twitter, use the handle @GoDucksKG. Coach, you and your team, you travel safe. You knock them dead in Sin City. And look forward to chatting again next week.
You got it, Steve. Thanks, bud.
All right, take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You know, you can delve a little too deeply sometimes, and I could be as guilty as anyone. And I said this the first time about the 2010 football team. When they were playing Oregon State, I said, they have to win this game. I was like, you never know. Oregon's, because people were talking about, you know, where the program was and how they almost were in the Natty in 2001. Then they were on their way in 2007. And with Chip Kelly in 2009 and 10, they were just becoming this destructive force that was unstoppable. I'm like, you don't know what the hell next year's bringing. And when the opportunity goes, you got to pounce. So they beat OSU and they got to play for a national championship. Then I brought it up in 2017. I said, look at the landscape of college basketball right now and look at the Duck men. They have to get to the Final Four. But what do you mean that? I'm like, you don't know when that chance is ever going to come again. It's this team, you know, at the time with the evolution of Jordan Bell and how good Tyler Dorsey had gotten. And they had this freshman from West Lynn who was contributing, and they were deep and talented. And, you know, they were the best team in the conference, no question about it. I'm like, they have to get to the Final Four now.
How good was Tyler Dorsey that March?
Oh, that
dude
was ridiculous.
Was on fire the
he
whole
went
month.
From, I would say there was not one single solitary Duck fan even considering the possibility he would go to the NBA to, well, he's probably like 50-50. Because it was like, well, what more, how much more was his stock going to skyrocket? He helped the team get to the Final Four, who had only been that close two other times.
I think he missed three shots the entire month. I think he missed
in March.
I think he missed three shots the whole month.
Yeah, one they waved it off because he got it off too late.
Technically two. I mean, that's a pretty good player. Pretty good month.
All right, and so like I said, right now, if the goal is a national championship, this is it. You're not going to get a better chance. You might get another chance, but you have three of the five best players in the country. You've got three of the five best players in the history of the program. You've got a once-in-a-lifetime, maybe, player in Sabrina. And in this might be borderline blasphemy around here, but I'm wondering if Satu Sabali is a better WNBA
what?
Prospect. I said it. Because what we've seen from her at 6'4", with her speed, ability to finish with either hand, and how she's been able to catch and shoot and rebound, and now she defends, and with her length, the way she's been cutting off passing lanes, amazing. It's like, and South Carolina and Baylor are not the Baylor of Brittany Griner. They're not UConn. There are vulnerabilities there, and When we talked with Ashley, when you've heard Rebecca Lobo, you've heard the top analysts around the country, when Oregon is firing on all cylinders, their depth, putting their best foot forward, they are the best team in the country. The time is now. And it's also time for a break. We'll be back. Nick will have a Coors Light update, and we'll have more sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Here come the Pelicans up one. They go to Williamson, facing up and driving and smashing the rim. Clean up on aisle five.
2 minutes, 30 seconds. Lakers lead by two. LeBron's got it on the right wing, one-on-one against Zion. Three-pointer by LeBron. It's good! LeBron for three! 116-111.
For three! Boom! Lebo James. As we carry you into a Monday where I feel like the show started and we were doing the traditional kind of like standing on top of a slide that was greased. And when, and all of a sudden it's 5:30 on a Monday. Where'd the time go?
Are you sure it's not Friday? Have we been tricked by some sort of time warp?
Wait, I can't trust my laptop. We learned that
a
couple weeks
back. No,
it's
your phone you can't trust.
But now that's fixed. It's spot on 5:32.
What does it say now? The minute just changed. That's why.
Funny, because my laptop went to 5:33. My phone still says 5:32.
So it's still a liar.
Odds that my phone never hits 5:33. And this is the story of my life.
We literally caught the moment your phone just decided to break.
The odds, you know, now it makes me realize that. Because sometimes when you set your phone, would you rather be 10 seconds off or 50 seconds off? Because, by the way, okay, there it goes to 5:33. Am I a tweener or am I better off setting it ahead another minute?
You're almost 40 seconds behind.
All right. By the way, I am. Like, when's the last time anybody set their phone or computer to seconds? I don't even know if that's like a thing. But anyway, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, let's bring in Fred. Fred, you're live on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. How's it going?
Good. I remember the watch where you had to shake your wrist back and forth to wind them, but doesn't say. My buddy Frank said he heard on the radio there's free food and drink at the back tomorrow. What was that all about?
Free food and drink. You know, your friends hear with their heart or what they want. There's something called Tracktown Tuesday, 6 o'clock at the DAC. And go to gotracktownusa.com and get the details. And then A, straighten out your friends. B, get new friends.
I'd rather, yeah, that's another story. I got to go. Bye.
All right, bye. Those guys would be easy to dupe. It's like, did you ever see that Far Side where a dog has written on the cover of the dryer with it open, food, F-U-D, hoping the cat is going to jump in? Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. That's what you have to do if you wanted to, like, kidnap Fred and his friends. Free, and spell it wrong, Al, K-O-H-O-L, and snacks, S-N-A-K-S, and just get them into the building, and they're yours.
What an incredible radio, like a really good producer would be like, hey, Steve, let's talk about all the stuff we'd done and what we talked about with those people. By the way, Tracktown Tuesday, because it's Tracktown USA. Like, that's what a good producer would do. And instead, Fred playing the role of Fred comes in and is like, hey, I heard there was free stuff at this thing earlier. Is that true? And then it's just the best radio reset ever, in case you missed it. That is fantastic,
unbelievable.
Man.
which, by the way, today we did speak with Ashley Adamson of the Pac-12 Network and get like real information and sports and insight from a terrific host and analyst. Then we talked with Michael Riley of Tracktown USA. They are having another Tracktown Tuesday. It promises to be another top flight event. We just talked with Kelly Graves, whose Oregon Ducks are Pac-12 champs for a third consecutive season.
Maybe they're the one seed.
What?
Maybe that was the free thing he was talking about, was the free bail that Kelly Graves promised.
And they're poised to start their run towards a second straight Final Four and perhaps cutting down the nets in New Orleans. And in a little bit, we'll talk with Mark Wasikowski, Coach Waz, the Duck baseball coach, and they've been playing real good after a rough start to the season in a tournament. Came back, and now they have swept the last two home series. And their reward for winning back-to-back series at home, it's a reward. They get to go to Hawaii. So, yeah. So you got that going for you, which is nice. What else has happened today? The funniest story was absolutely
Tannenism.
The new he's a former agent. He's basically the new decision maker for the New York Bricks. And his first thing is he's asking Knicks fans to be patient. He wrote a message on at New York Knicks. While noting the Knicks have young talent, he wrote, "Nothing about this is easy or quick, so I ask for your continued patience." Well, is continued patience 3 years, 6 years, 8, 17, 20? I mean, at what point is patience gullibility? And no, we're not going to be patient. We're not going to listen to anything you say. We're not going to keep buying these zillion-dollar tickets at the Garden until you make the playoffs. We're not buying your gear. And by the way, did you happen to see the game Porzingis, who's now fully recovered from the ACL injury, which I think I had a role in when I bought the Porzingis jersey some years back, now playing for the Dallas Mavericks. So I think it was at Minnesota over the weekend. But the key was one of the national writers who was a guest. Yeah, he had 38 points. And I think he also had a crazy big amount. Oh, yeah, there you go. 38 points, 13 rebounds, not to mention 4 assists and 5 blocks in a big win. But I thought the key was they decided to trade him because, they stunk. He was injured. And I guess they found he's a suitor. And in essence, they didn't get anything because of the draft picks they got turned out to be nobody. He was traded with DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, Dennis Smith, and there you go. It was the other way around. But he re-signed with Dallas during the offseason. But, you know, he had undergone tore his ACL, undergone a serious knee procedure, and he missed all of 18-19. But here he is in 2020. He's a 20-10 guy. And he's just now, at age 24, by the way, getting back. So, by the way, somebody said, if you're a Knicks fan, you're either patient or stupid.
Wow.
While very insulting, he kind of makes a good case.
That's the best point I've ever heard.
Oh, here it is. If you're still a Knicks fan, you're patient, parentheses, or stupid. Well,
what a great joke that can be applied to almost every other fan base. Like, oh, you're a Lions fan. Well, you're patient or you're stupid.
You're a little stupid.
Oh, you root
Browns
for
Browns fan?
Yeah, you're a Browns fan. Oh, you root for any professional sports team in Ohio? You might be patient or stupid.
Hawks fan?
Sure. Yeah,
you're still a Hawks fan?
Wow,
you're really patient.
Detroit Pistons, guy goes to
the bathroom, leaves the bar.
Stupid. He's not the brightest guy I've ever seen.
Al's kind of stupid too. At this point, you know, if you had to make a list of the top, like the trifecta of idiot fans who just won't give in right now. I mean, normally
the Knicks come in first, second, and third.
The poster team for never is still the Clippers, but they're in it this year. There's no way around it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that right now they're a 2 seed in the West, tied with Denver.
Yeah, the Western Conference Finals of the Lakers and Clippers is going to be insane. A pair of teams
it should
that
be.
They don't have to travel. You've got, for some reason, all of the equipment and team staff are going to spend hours in between the days that they have for games, switching out courts because the two teams share one building for some reason, which is very weird. And it's just it's going to be just 5 home games in a row for the Lakers as they move on to the NBA Finals.
Even though they're historically the Nets, because they went to back-to-back East Conference NBA Finals this century, do they fall into the stupid category or patience?
Patience, because they've got KD and Kyrie coming next year, which this year was all about when KD was healthy for next year. So it's patience, and then, you know, when KD isn't the same, he's a little slow, 2 years into his 15-year deal or whatever that he signed, things aren't looking very good, and you're hoping he'll opt out, and he hasn't. At that point, then you can say, the Knicks, they're patient, but they're stupid. It's the Knicks are 1, 2, and 3.
You know, the Magic, when they had Dwight Howard, actually played in the NBA Finals in 2009, made these finals. So that's not brain dead just yet.
Oh, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about extremely forgettable franchises in pro sports. The Magic would be my answer for the NBA. Constantly just forget that they're there. Why? Why?
Well, for 2 years, they were worth watching. And then when they had Shaq, but that wasn't really your lifetime.
No, I was far too young.
All right, why don't we do this? We'll take a break, we'll come back. You could get a tweet of the day in, and we'll spend a few minutes with Coach Waz talking Duck baseball next. 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Nick.
Oh, wait, I'm supposed to say hi, everybody.
I was just playing in. I was just following your lead.
I completely forgot I was supposed to do here. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Prospered Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment that is made to chill. Jumping into this very quickly. A nominee, a runner-up here from at Alex_Kirshner, who writes for Banner Society, which is part of SB Nation, talked to punters at the NFL Combine and had them rank how far they would be able to punt certain items, including a cabbage, a ball of yarn, a feather, a loaf of bread, a burrito, a Hershey bar, a beanie, a laptop, a piece of paper, a soccer ball, a football, obviously, and Kirby from Smash Brothers. Don't know why people would be kicking Kirby from Smash Brothers, but they are. But our tweet of the day comes from Pablo Torre, at Pablo Torre on Twitter. He took the video that went viral last night from the LA Angels where Mike Trout and some other baseball players went to Topgolf in Vegas, I believe, and Mike Trout hit a baseball that landed on the moon. You can see this thing take off into the night. I think that the actual goal was to try and hit the back wall at Topgolf or something. I don't know. Either way, Mike Trout, he hit it to the moon. And at Pablo Torre with that video, just an incredible observation. Mike Trout is so good at super rich anonymity that he surrounds himself with decoy Mike Trouts like he's the Queen of Naboo. An incredibly just strange Star Wars reference that I don't think people talk about all that much, with Queen Namidala walking around with just duplicates of herself so she isn't seen for some reason. And Mike Trout doing the same thing. I can't get over how good his golf form is, and also he was so confident in the swing, I thought he was just going to walk off like the Topgolf like stage that, or whatever that he was on. It's incredible.
That's so the longest hit ever, by the way.
Yes. He hit it a mile and a half, landed on the moon. So thanks to @PabloTorre for the refreshing tweet of the day. You can follow the station's handle so you can watch that video, because this is radio, @953TheScore. You can follow Steve on Twitter @SportsTalk953. I'm on Twitter @RickNodgers. Don't be a jerk. Just do it.
Alrighty. Home stretch. Monday. Sports Talk. Two words that I love to say right around now. It's March. Whoop, 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 whoop. And I am all about it because, A, fortunate enough to get to do this. B, fortunate enough to be in a town with two teams that are poised to make big runs in March Madness. So, makes it a lot of fun. So you always said a million times when it comes to, doing a show like this, it's not necessary to have fun and enjoy yourself and to love your job that teams be great or at the top of their conference. But it sure as hell engages the locals a lot more, to say the least. All right. Do we have a right number there?
All right.
284-8571 is our number. If you want to jump on in, you could also hit us up on the text line, 321-0824, or you can try us on Twitter. Here, I will hand you my phone, and you can look at the contact number right there all by yourself. Wow, did I,
like, not even close.
Whoa, what the hell was that? All right, my bad. Did I get dyslexic on you?
No, not even.
No, I just made one up.
Yep.
All right, all better. All right, well, don't worry about that. Just get him on the phone. And by the way, the last time I called him, I screwed up. So he must think, like, these guys could do a radio show 3 hours a day, talk about every freaking topic known to man, but dial a phone number is over their heads. And obviously, they'd be correct. GLIP. All right. So anyway, it looks like we've connected. It's good. When you work with somebody a long time, you get a sense of when something is slightly derailed. But anyway, let's get to it. Folks, rarely late in the show we don't have guests, but rules are rules. In baseball, you don't speak of a no-hitter. Sometimes you might not want to step on the baseline. But like Crash Davis said in Bull Durham, respect the streak. We've spoken twice, so two sweeps. We bring in head baseball coach Mark Wazikowski. Coach Waz, this was a no-brainer. We had to have you on, right?
Steve, you called it. You were the one who took the credit for it, and I kind of had one eyebrow up, and now I'm a believer, man. So, obviously, it's a no-brainer.
So, when we talked last week, we were talking about your bullpen. One earned run over 11 innings. Four games this weekend, two earned over 11 and two-thirds. I mean, I know everybody strives for perfection, but what are you liking about your relief corps so far?
Well, geez, that sounds like that's a trend that we're getting worse. I hope that stops. Boy, I'm obviously kidding. The guys, boy, Coach Angier, those guys, he's got them going pretty good right now, which is really fun to watch. It's, Hunter Bro at the end of the game with Colby Summers, Andrew Mosiello, freshman kid that's been just doing a fantastic job back there amongst others. I mean, it's really hard to complain about what you're watching with pitching. At PK Park for this seven-game home stretch, those guys have just flat out really pitched the ball very, very well.
Got a hit on a player, a local product from South Salem High, Aaron Zuvala. I mean, he played right field, some third. He was having a nice start to the season, but 11-16 with two walks and seven RBI. His on-base percentage for the weekend over 700. Safe to call that a wrecking crew performance?
Yeah, absolutely. My goodness. I mean, how about that? The three kids here local, you know, between him, Kenyon Jovan, and Gabe Matthews, all three Oregonians, just absolutely doing a fantastic job right now with the bat for the Ducks. And Aaron was really a special weekend and a neat kid. Just really happy with the work he's invested in this thing. For him to get the returns he's getting, it's fun to watch, Steve.
And lastly, off to Hawaii, four games starting Thursday night. I mean, they just split with a Pac-12 team at home against Washington State. Mike Trapasso, the coach for almost 20 seasons. What kind of challenges can you expect from the Bows?
Well, interesting question. You know, I mean, yeah, they split with Washington State, and then all they did is went out to Vanderbilt this last weekend, and they should have taken the series 2 out of 3, but there was a walk-off homer on day 3 that they ended up losing the series 2 out of 3, and Vanderbilt's ranked 2nd in the country. So I think we're going to have a tall task. We're going to be playing in their quarters, obviously, and they usually draw a real healthy crowd out there that like to socialize and maybe have a good time while they're out there. So it'll be a good challenge for our young group. And, man, I love getting back to the Rock. That's going to be a lot of fun out there to be able to play in good weather. And although we've had great weather here, playing good weather, good fans, and, man, I don't know. It's going to be an exciting time.
All right, Coach, I was happy you guys reached out. I'm all about the superstition. Way to go the last couple of weekends getting the sweeps. Travel safe to and from the island. And, obviously, we will talk soon.
That sounds great, Steve. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Gotta love it. When it comes to baseball and superstitions, and I've said for a million times, you talk to pro MLB players, they may have their own. And I'm sorry, this is one of those things where it crosses over to your softball league. And if you play, and I know guys who never step on the mound. I know guys who never step on the white line. I don't think I've ever stepped on the white line coming on or off the field. I don't care what the hell I'm playing. Keep your mitt in a certain place if it's working well. How you wash your jersey, if you wash your jersey. Stirrup, pull your pants up, what kind of spikes you're wearing, whatever. If it's working, don't mess with the streak. Have yourselves an excellent Monday evening, folks. And thanks to all of our guests and to those of you who participated in listening to Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.